Session number 8226.
Mr. Bonney, Reel 4, could you tell me whether the active service you were on in Gallipoli, this sort of constantly being under fire of one sort and another, did it affect your nerves at all?
No, I don't think so. No, I felt all right. Yeah.
You didn't get on your nerves at all? You
No,
didn't.
no.
What about the rest of your unit? How was the morale still good despite the
Oh, yes,
dysentery?
yes. Yes, they were. All those that was left was very good, yes. Yeah.
What did you think of the Turks at the time as an enemy?
Well, you didn't see much of them, so you couldn't say what you thought about them, really. You never saw them, really.
Did you hate them, though, as an
Oh,
idea?
no.
Did you have any
No.
nicknames for them?
No.
What about your officers, your generals, the generals who put you there? What did you think of them? Was there any opinion at the time?
Oh, well, no, we didn't think much. Well, we didn't really know them. We only saw our own officers, really. We never saw any generals out there.
But you didn't have any sort of opinion about how the campaign was going, because
No, not at all.
you were just there.
We were just there, and that's all.
Were there any particular individuals that you do remember? Any particular friends you've made, or any officers you particularly respected while you were there?
Oh, well, there was one friend of mine who threw a lifeboat to me from the upturned lifeboat, and we seemed to stick together. He was an old fellow. I was only a young lad, and any cigarettes I had, I gave to him, and rum issue, and any shirts he had sent him, or well, that he'd pass over to me, and all. And we used to share our rations, you know, and do what we could with them, grind up the biscuits and the bully beef, and try and cook up something.
Was this common, this sort of palling up with
Oh,
a...
yes. Generally in little groups, and because you just had a tin of bully and a couple of mild biscuits, and that's it. You've got to make the best of it. And so we used to make a bit of bully stew or something.
Did this chap survive? Did he get through the
Well,
campaign?
I wouldn't know what happened to him. I got this dysentery, and well, most of us had it, but then we left Gallipoli for a rest on one of the islands, Lemnos or Embros, and that's the last I saw of them. We paraded for a sick parade, and well, I had my eyes all bitten with flies, and no hair, my hair all cropped, and a couple of the doctors coming along, you know, they says, one said to me, any Chinese in your family? So I said, no. He said, you sure? Well, the other one said, what do you think? Well, he said, he looks like it. I think he said, one of them said to the other, I think his mother must have been chased with Chinese. Anyhow, they marked me down for evacuation.
What had you got then?
I've got this here dysentery and yellow jaundice, and
You had got jaundice as well,
yes.
yeah. You must have felt pretty awful.
Oh, yes. Oh, well, you had to keep running to the toilet and. And had your trousers soaked through, you know, and you had blood through your trousers, and we went on the hospital ship to Alexandra, and well, there was a lot died on that ship, and
We well treated on the ship.
oh yes, although we all on the decks, we never had beds or anything. It was all on decks, and.
Just lying on the planks.
Yes, and Well, every day they used to bury them over the side, you know, shoot them over the and have a service.
Were there any adequate sanitary arrangements? Because after all, a lot of you were suffering from dysentery on the boat. I mean, what was?
Well, I think we had buckets on the deck there, and they had orderlies on there to empty up. You know.
So they didn't let things get too bad.
No, no.
When you were pulled back to Imbros for this rest period, were there any other rest areas actually on Gallipoli? How would you normally be pulled back to rest?
Well, that was the only rest we had while I was out there.
Where would you normally go when you weren't in the front line? Just back
from the support trenches, which was little holes in the ground.
And did you feel a lot safer there, or?
Oh yes, you felt safer there because it was mostly sniping. Although when you're in the front line, you had the ships, the navy firing right over your head.
When you were in support, what sort of duties did you do there?
Nothing really, just clean up yourself and that, and then. Go on the fatigues down to the front to get the water.
Where did you get
in
that
the night time on the barges? They had a barge there filtering the water, and we used to go with a big biscuit tin on our shoulders, and all parade back.
Doesn't sound like much of a rest.
Oh well, no, no. Well, it took all night to get down there and back, and. Because you were sniped at coming back from trees and any old trees that was there, the snipers would be up in the trees.
Being on Gallipoli, you were totally isolated from women and everything like that.
Did
that affect morale or yourself a lot at all?
Well, I don't think so, no.
What about dental treatment, things like that? Did anybody have any trouble with toothache or anything?
Never heard anybody talk about dental treatment. No. It was lice more than anything.
How did you try and get rid of the lice then during your...
Well, you had to strike a match and burn them all off of your trousers, seams of your trousers, every day. Because, I mean, it was hot and the sun shining and... The officers as well, they're all doing the same thing as you.
When you were evacuated, you know, you were sent off from Imbros, were you pleased to be getting away from Gallipoli?
Oh, very pleased. We went on to Malta, into a hospital in Malta, which was Marquise. I can't remember the little district. I know we landed at... the letter or, you know. And we got well treated in the hospital.
Well, what did you feel about Gallipoli in the long term? Did you ever join the Gallipoli Association?
Yes. I joined that very late after I come home. I got a note from somebody asking me, why don't I join, you know.
Yeah, it only started in 1969 or so.
Oh, I see, yeah.
How do you feel about Gallipoli now? Were you sort of glad you were part of it, or do you wish you'd never been there?
in a way, it's something to look back on, but, yes.
Didn't like it at the time?
No, not a bit.
When you'd recovered in Malta, how long did it take to recover from jaundice and dysentery?
Well... I suppose about a month. But then they had a riot on Malta with the Australians and the Maltese. And
do you remember anything about that?
Hmm?
Do you remember much about the riot?
Oh, yes. The Maltese killed one of the Australians outside a picture palace in Valletta. And the next night, the Australians all formed and... Any Maltese they saw, they threw in the water, over into the harbour.
This is quite a lot of fighting.
Oh, yes. And anyhow, they put out of bounds, and nobody could leave Malta until they had some. I think it was Lord Methuen, the Governor General of Malta at the time, or so.
Did you see any of this fighting, or just the after effect?
Oh, yes. Saw the fighting down by the. there's bridges across, the little bridges across the road, and these Maltese were throwing the bricks from the bridge over under the Aussies.
Did the how was the situation resolved? How did this stop the riots?
Oh, well, it all fizzled out in the end. I mean, they had the police, military police, and we were confined to the hospitals, and so were the Australians.
But were the Maltese pretty unpopular then, or was it just the Australians and them didn't get on?
Oh no, I think it was the Maltese was very. They weren't very popular, and they hated the Australians, because the Australians had plenty of money, you know.
Why were the Maltese so unpopular? What characteristics made them disliked?
Well, I don't know. I think they were a bit jealous of the way the Australians got on with the popular, you know, with their girlfriends and all that business. I mean, they had money. They could buy these people in the cafes and take them for rides in the garages.
How did the British soldiers feel about the Australians? Because the Australians were paid more than the British as well.
Oh, well, they didn't feel too good about that, because what was we getting? Sixpence a day, 3 and 6 a week.
And the Australians were on more than that.
Oh. But oh dear, yes, I don't know.
So, where were you sent to from Malta?
From Malta, we went back to Alexandra, to a camp, Mustafa camp, and from there they mustered the Second South Wales Borderers, and sent us back to the unit on the Suez.
So the unit had been pulled out of
They pulled out when they evacuated the Dardanelles.
I see. So you rejoined the unit around about December 1915, February 1916. So.
That's right, yes.
What were you doing while you were in Alexandria and on the Suez? Just training?
No, we were just waiting, get equipped with some equipment, and then sent up to the Suez Canal. On the canal between, I think it was Ismailia and the Suez. And wasn't many of us, about 10 or so, I think. And we lined up there in company, and the Sergeant Major, D Company Sergeant Major, he come along the line, and again, he said to me, how would you like to be a kind of batman to me? So I said, yeah, suit me. And of course, I became his batman. Sergeant Major's batman.
Do you remember
Company
his name?
Company Sergeant Major. No, I can't think of his name. I wish I could.
What were your duties as the Sergeant Major's batman then?
Well, just run errands. The first job was take a couple of sandbags and go into Suez and get some bottles of whiskey, bottles of gin. They were going to have a celebration with the all the old sergeant majors and who were with the old regiment out in Tin Sin. So they'd be from the Border Regiment, the Inniskillings, King's Own Scottish Borderers, anyhow, at night time they had to see a dew in the tent, and as my job was to serve the drinks.
Do you remember what was going on in the tent?
Oh, well, yes, they had a they had a table like this, and they were drawing maps of, you know, what they were doing out in China, and getting well soaked, you know. And in the middle of it, in the middle of this here do, I'm in the back of the tent, the orderly room sergeant comes down there, and RC's, they're all staff sergeants, sergeant majors, regimental sergeant majors. Could they be quiet for a minute? And they said, yes. So he brings out a paper and he says, Corporal Bonney of the 10th County of London, so-and-so and so-and-so, deserted on a certain date. And oh, no, they all look round at me. They all look round at me. And so they said to him, hey, hide that. Do we don't want any of that around here. But I can hear it. He put it in the old tin trunk of the orderly room. And when it went on the boat at Alexandra, prior to going to evacuating, the boat got sunk. So, of course, I thought that was it.
You'd escaped.
I've escaped the...
What else were you doing while you were at Suez? Can you remember?
Well, we was on guard out on the desert, but we used to go out of a night on trenches round by the Suez Canal. But is all we could find out to shoot was dogs. There's a lot of wild dogs about on the.
Did you shoot many?
Oh, well, I shot one, if that's anything. I don't remember shooting anymore.
Were you doing any sort of training while you were there?
No, I wasn't. I was batman for the sergeant major.
Besides running errands for him, did you have to sort of prepare his kit and clean his kit and sort of
well,
keep things
no,
tidy?
No, I don't remember cleaning his kit, no.
You just ran his ran
just,
errands?
Yes.
Where did you go from Suez?
Well, from Suez, we went down to Alexandra, straight onto the boat to Marseilles.
Were you nervous at all about sailing about the Mediterranean after your experience
on
the Royal Edward?
No, we had a parade all the time with our life belts on in that time. But there was a lot of bodies and horses, dead horses, floating by when you were sailing from Malta, Alexandra to Marseilles.
And where'd they come from?
Well, from other wrecks, boats that got torpedoed.
But this didn't unnerve you at all?
Not really, no. Well, I mean, you got over one, you've been a good swimmer, and it didn't worry you much.
Where did you... You landed at Marseille.
Yes.
What had you heard about the Western Front when you got... Well, you know, when you arrived? Did the Western Front have a reputation for anything in particular?
No, we didn't get to know anything. We just... I think we went from train... on train to part of the journey, and yes, we was issued with what was it, like brandy and stuff, and make tea on the train. When the train stopped, you got a from the engine. You could make tea, you know, from the steam water.
And I believe you went to Pont-Remy. Where were you? Did you do any training before you were put in the front line? Any sort of training to adapt you to Western Front conditions, or were you just put straight into the front line?
No, we went straight into the trenches.
Whereabouts?
That was Beaumont Hamel. We went straight to Beaumont Hamel, but we moved around there to different little towns like Maley Maley, I think it was,
But all in the Beaumont Hamel sort of sector?
All in the Beaumont Hamel, because we were waiting for the attack.
Because July 1st offensive.
They had a 10-day bombardment first, and I mean that was going on all day, every day, and all night.
This was when you first arrived in the line.
Yes.
What was the noise like? Was it tremendous or just
terrific? Terrible. I think that's why we're all deaf, partly.
It kept you awake at night, did it?
Oh. I don't know about that. You could always sleep.
Was Beaumont Hamel with the exception of the bombardment, was it what they call a quiet sector, or was it a rather more dangerous sector?
Oh, well, it was a dangerous sector. We used to get air raids and gas bombs.
What happened in an air raid, for instance?
They just come over and drop little bombs, you know, gas bombs. But there was a civilian population in there, you know, very scarce.
What, in the villages just behind
the
village
line? In the village itself, yes.
Just after you arrived, I believe there was a raid by the Germans. Could you describe to me what happened then?
Well, of course, there was a bit of a panic. Everybody shouting, and these Germans were shouting, "Come on, you South Wales borders!" And they were the old chaps from who knew the South Wales borders. Anyhow, they grabbed
Tsingtau.
In the Sin Tin.
Sin Tin, yeah.
They knew one another. Well, I don't know. I suppose they drank with one another. Thought with one another.
And what actually happened during the raid? Can you describe to me what happened?
Well, I know there was a shouting about raids. There was bombs thrown, hand grenades and all that business. And it was all over in no time. I think it was the Bavarian guards who did the raid, and they left daggers behind them, because some of the chaps picked up these daggers.
They didn't actually attack the part you were exactly in. It was just along from you, was it? Just along from you, was it?
Yes, like the other side of the trenches.
Did you actually
see our brigade? Yeah. Regiment.
Did you actually see any of the raiders?
No, not me, I didn't, no.
When you weren't in the line, in the Beaumont Hamel sector, did you have any special training for the Somme offensive? Did you have any, you know, did you do any practice assaults or anything like that?
Well, you see, I done this here running about with the sergeant major, anybody want taking up the front line, I used to have to take them up, and you know, for the company. But never had any training for going over the top or anything like that. We had that before we went out.
When 1st of July came, could you describe to me what happened to your battalion and what happened to you on the 1st of July?
Well, Yes, the bombardment got fiercer and fiercer, and the 10% of us, which wasn't many, the officers' mess, cook and all that business, and a few runners like myself, we were sent into a dugout. And of course, then we heard all the firing and the bombing, and then it was all over.
You didn't actually see it, or did you?
No, we couldn't. Well, didn't actually see it, but
you 10% were acting as a sort of corps in case a battalion
be left,
was destroyed,
yes.
So that if there was something left
that's
of the
right,
battalion.
Yes, and anyhow, I never saw my sergeant major anymore after that. He got wounded, and I never saw him again. So that's when I was transferred onto headquarters, and I was orderly to the CO. Major Rates. So that morning we'd go up and see what damage was done up in the front line.
This was on July the 2nd?
On the morning.
On July the 1st, had you had any idea of what was happening to the battalion or whether the attack was a success? Or
Oh yes, we knew that they were all getting hit in the legs, machine gun fires.
You saw the casualties coming through, did you?
Oh, yes, yes. Well, we could see all the gunfire from the machine guns from our little billet in Beaumont Ammo, because that was right on the front line almost.
So you could sort of see the effect?
Yes.
But you didn't you'd see the effect, but you couldn't actually see what was happening particularly,
no.
But you could just hear and see
that's
the
right,
noise,
yes,
and
yes.
You got the impression that things weren't going well.
That's right, yes.
What did you do on July the 2nd then, when you'd been attached to Major Rakes?
Yeah.
What happened then?
Well, we went up the front line and see what casualties there were and all that business, and I remember it got, you know, they started bombing shelling again, and we got in a little dugout, and there was about half a dozen dead in this dugout.
British or German?
Pardon?
Which nationality? British or German?
British chaps. And I said, I can't remember a lot more after that, but a few days after that, of course, we were shifted from Beaumont Ammo away.
What were the, did this sort of scene with the bodies in the dugout, did it disgust you or at all, or how did it make you feel?
Well, we'd seen so many dead bodies, it's... Because, I mean, after that, I used to go up to the line with the CO in a lot of different places, and perhaps as we come back, you see where a shell had dropped and killed about 10, and they'd still be there.
So you got used to it, basically?
Oh, you got used to dead bodies, and...
Where did you go after you'd been moved off from Beaumont Hamel?
Well, we went along near the Thiep Vowel, over the, what they called Jacob's Ladder, and from there we watched all the Irish being mowed down by machine guns. I think they wet the Irish out at Thiep Vowel. And anyhow, we got buried on this here Jacob's Ladder, going under a kind of a bridge across the trench, when a shell hit the bridge. And
were you dug out? Or?
Well, no, we crawled out, but only about four of us. And from there, we went on and on to different places.